Thank you, Hauser Family Choir. You all know what I'm referring to. I've been joking. We've always had sort of an ensemble instead of having the choir during August. And we had a group of men. We had a group of women. Now we have a family group. So I'm just calling you the choir this morning because you are our choir. So thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, this morning I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Lights, please. The beauty and diversity of our world is astounding. And that video just shows a small section of it. There is no way any of us can fully experience all of the majesty of God's creation. I mean, we saw an animal or animals there that looked like they were practical jokes. You show that one image? I mean, what creativity? I mean, did God have a sense of humor or what? We can be amazed by the lightning speed of cheetahs. We can be moved by a sunset over the Pacific Ocean. We can notice the waterfalls that cascade off the heights of the Superstition Mountains right after a monsoon rain. You know, Beth and Tim and I were blessed to be in Washington recently. We hiked on Mount Rainier. We arrived at a place called the Paradise Trailhead, and we had a choice of which trails to take. I had read the guidebook that said, those people who are physically in shape always take the Skyline Trail. So I told my family that I thought we were in physical shape and we should do the Skyline Trail. Little did I know, it was like we were getting on the Stairmaster workout machine at the gym. I mean, whoever invented that torture device, unending stairs that you walk up. Well, when we started up that trail, the steepest trail from that trailhead, it wasn't long before my family began to grumble. Who thought this trail was a good idea? But after the vistas opened up, you want to show that image? After the vistas opened up, the grumbling ceased. As we saw the majesty of Mount Rainier in front of us. And by the way, we were so well prepared for this hike in late July. We were in our tennis shoes, finding ourselves walking on snow. We needed crampons and boots, actually, but we were so engrossed by the beauty, we kept going. It was only when we turned around and started going downhill we discovered that sneakers turn into skis on snow. Not such a smart choice. If you've ever hiked Mount Rainier, you know what it's like to be in God's glory, to see a peak that is encased with glaciers. To have the clouds settle down and envelop the peak, and then suddenly they move away, and there is the beauty of the mountain before you. And you can't help but feel God's presence. I could understand why backpackers were fully loaded and why they were planning on taking several days to climb all the way to the top. You can't help but say in a place like that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I invite you to close your eyes this morning. Go ahead, trust me, just close your eyes. And think of a place in nature that inspires you. It could be a place you've been to. Or maybe a place you've seen in pictures. Imagine that place. Now imagine yourself in that place. What does it look like? What does it smell like? It is quiet and still. What do you hear? Now imagine that God is right there beside you. He is pointing out the handiwork of His creation, showing you the things He has made. What do you say to Him? All right, sad to say you got to come back to the sanctuary now. Open your eyes. Would you turn and share with the person next to you where you were? Just quickly do that. If you need to get up and move, that's okay to talk to somebody. When is a time that you have been overwhelmed by nature? When have you experienced breathtaking beauty or discovered astonishing creativity? You can find yourself in awe over the tiniest thing. Also on vacation, we stopped at a bug museum. Now, I have to tell you, my family was not excited when I pulled into the parking lot of the bug museum. So I had to bug them to get them out of the car. But they did get out of the car. And this bug museum was filled with live tarantulas and reptiles and bugs. There was one terrarium where there was a whole bunch of leaves, and then there was a bug that looked like a leaf, like the one you see on the screen. We had to look a long time in that terrarium to find that bug. It looked like every single other leaf in there. And guess where it was? It was right in front of our face. It wasn't hidden in the back. It was right at the front. And it took us about 3 to 4 minutes to find the bug. And we saw other bugs that looked like sticks. If they'd been on a tree, you would have thought they were the tree. Now, I know some of you are freaked out by bugs, so you probably shouldn't return to the 9:30 service when Catherine shows the kids a scorpion. But we found them fascinating. As we look at bugs and animals and plant life, we realize the creativity of the creation. I mean, if you flip a turtle upside down, there's incredible patterns usually on the bottom of turtles that hardly anybody sees. But it's remarkable. Many plants and animals look like an artist designed them. And when I see the designs, I think of the Creator as an amazing artist. Now, most of us know that we can get reconnected with God through creation. Yes, sometimes people will tell me that they get closer to God in creation than they do in church. And sometimes, you know what they're really saying? I'm bored with that church stuff. I'm bored listening to sermons. Pastor, I get a lot closer to God when I'm out there than when I'm in here. And when they speak those words, they're really attesting to the fact that creation draws us to God. And it reminds us that God is near. I want to show the image of Half Dome, Catherine. This is Half Dome in Yosemite National Park. I have climbed it 10 times. Once I even spent the night on top of Half Dome. Have any of you climbed Half Dome? Raise your hand. Only Beth. If you have a list of things to do, and you can still hike 20 miles, yeah, that's the tough part. Last time I did it, I was really sore. Put that on the list. By the way, you know how we got Beth up there? We joked with her and said, well, you know, to marry into the Steinberg family, you have to climb Half Dome first. So she went. Of course, now I think she's been 3 times. What'd you say? 4, she goes. Well, Bishop Gerald Kennedy, climbed a half dome, and this is what he wrote about his experience. I stood one day with a friend on the top of Half Dome in Yosemite Valley. I felt the first twinge of nature mysticism, and all my sophomoric doubts about God disintegrated. I knew in that moment that there was a more than human power in the world that is personal and friendly. The only other time I can recall that same feeling was my first look into the thrilling depths of the Grand Canyon. Please tell me you've been to the Grand Canyon. Oh, thank goodness. There you can just get out of your car and walk 100 feet. As the English novelist once put it, if the Colorado River carved it out, you are sure that God gave the Colorado River its instructions. So it is hard to believe that at one time philosophers taught that the physical world is bad and that the physical body is bad, that a person must deny the physical world in order to get closer to God. In human history, there's been a time when many monks and nuns and hermits and gurus would try to separate themselves from the physical world in order to get close to God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible in Genesis teaches that the physical world is good. It's why the creation story says over and over, it was good. It was very good. And most of us would say that creation brings us into contact with God. But then there's the other philosophy on the other end that says the physical world is so marvelous that we should worship it. So humankind throughout history has worshipped nature. People have worshipped trees, they've worshipped mountains, they've worshipped animals. Many ancient cultures grew to worship nature. But that is not what the Christian does. Instead, the Bible teaches us that we worship the Creator who is behind the creation. We're not to worship creation, but creation points us to the Creator. But we have to take time to notice. So many times we are intent on driving somewhere and we don't pause to turn off and to breathe in the fresh mountain air and to see the glory of God's creation around us. I am sure that some of you have driven the Going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park. Have any of you done that? Oh, yeah. By the way, if you haven't, I'm creating your bucket list this morning, all right? Here's another thing to put on your bucket list, and you don't have to hike 20 miles. When you drive this road in Glacier National Park, this road is cut into the side of a cliff. So, by the way, if you have a fear of heights, this road may not be for you. So if you're driving on this road, on this cliff, your attention is focused on this narrow, steep, winding road, and you keep your eyes glued to the road for fear that you might just drive off the edge and off the cliff. But when you find those turnouts, you pull out and you get out of your car, and I have to tell you, it is utterly thrilling to see the majesty of those mountains. It moves you. After taking some pictures, after breathing in the fresh mountain air, you get back into your car and you think, I am so glad we stopped. I might have missed the wonder of this. When Beth and Tim and I were driving up the Going to the Sun Road, a bear happened to run onto the road. a small bear, and it hopped across the road because we noticed that its left paw was broken. It hopped all the way to the cliff on the uphill side and then began to climb this cliff. And I'm thinking, there is no way this crippled bear is going to climb up that cliff. It's going to fall. But it climbed and it climbed and it was up there and nothing flat and gone. I mean, it climbed a cliff that I couldn't climb with two good hands and two good feet. You ever blurted out, "I had no idea"? That's what I said. I had no idea a bear could do that. That a crippled bear could make it up a cliff. I am frequently mystified by what I see in creation. Another thing that happens in creation for me, I relax. You ever notice that? God's creation is so great, so grand, so immense that it puts everything into perspective. You find out after a while that everything doesn't depend on you. God's creation's getting along fine without you. Fine without you having to check your emails 6 times a day. Fine without guidance and direction. Fine without our hard work. And suddenly we find our place in this world. And we realize the things in our life can wait. And in that moment, we find peace. We may also find a sense of gratitude. Thanks for the way that God has blessed us and for what God has designed. By the way, have you thought about how you are designed? You ever bothered to really look at your hands? To look at your feet? To realize what a marvel your human body is? Have you ever contemplated how you think? How you were able to love? I mean, the human body is a marvel in and of itself. You're a part of creation. I've told you in the past how I was in a biology 101 class in high school and how when the teacher was describing how nerve impulses move throughout our body using a chemical reaction, and if one chemical was gone, we would cease to exist, I was blown away. And in that moment, I really realized this couldn't have happened by accident, by chance. A teacher asked her class what they thought were the present 7 wonders of the world. So the students cast votes. Number 1, the Great Pyramids in Egypt. The Taj Mahal, number 2. Grand Canyon, number 3. Panama Canal, number 4. Empire State Building, number 5. St. Peter's Basilica, number 6. China's Great Wall, number 7. But after reporting the votes, the teacher noticed there was one student who hadn't turned her paper in. She said, "Were you having trouble picking which of the 7 wonders? She said, "Yes, there are so many." "Well, why don't you share what you've got with us and maybe we can help you?" And the girl said this, "I think the 7 wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, to love. You are a wonder of God's creation, and God called you good." Let us pray. Oh God, this day we give thanks for your creation of which we are a part. Help us to be still in your creation at times and to know that you are God. That your creation points us to you. And we give thanks for the peace, for the knowledge of your nearness to us that it brings. In Jesus' name, amen.